الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أفمن شرح الله صدره للإسلام فهو على نور من ربه فويل للقاسية قلوبهم من ذكر الله أولئك في ضلال بعيد صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. The grace and fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were in the new Islamic year 1444, the Mubarak month of Muharram. When the English year commences, then people of the world, they look at the past year, at all the mistakes that were made, and then they make firm intentions, resolutions, that the coming year will be a more prosperous financial year. And the mistakes that were made in the past year, they should ensure that those mistakes are not repeated in the coming year. So because the mindset is a mindset of wealth, a mindset of dunya, then one looks at worldly progress, one looks at worldly resolutions, one looks at how he can better his business in terms of the dunya. But when it comes to a believer, when the new Islamic year dawns, then he should look at the past year, his past life, and then he should take lesson, he should have those intentions, resolutions that the coming year will be a more better year in terms of his relationship with Allah. Now this month of Muharram is among the Ashhurul Hurum, is among the sacred months in the Islamic calendar. And it is important for us to understand the worth and the value of something so that we can attach the appreciation and we can attach that value to it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to attach. Now from the Islamic months, the 12 months, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite grace and mercy blessed the month of Ramadan with the greatest sanctity and the greatest position. Sayyidu Shuhur. The month of Ramadan, the hadith mentioned, is the leader of all months. The greatest month. And after the month of Ramadan, the months that follow in fazilat, in excellence, in virtue, in sanctity and position, are the four sacred months, the month of Muharram, the month of Rajab, the month of Zulqadah and Zulhijjah. Any good deed carried out in these months, the reward is escalated. The reward is increased. The reward multiplies. And any sin that a person does in these months, then the sin is even more serious and intensified. Like how the month of Ramadan, we all know that the nur and the barakat from Allah is raining. From all sides, we are enveloped with the nur and barakat of Allah in the month of Ramadan. Similarly, in these four Mubarak months, the nur and barakat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reigns. Perhaps not to the degree and extent like the month of Ramadan, but to a great degree. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, they attach a lot of importance to these months. If you have to study the lives of Sahaba, they would fast a lot in these four sacred months. They would make more ibadat. And from these 4 months, Hazrat Abu Usman Nahdi radiallahu ta'ala, Abu Usman Nahdi rahimahullah, he mentions that the Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in's practice was that from these 4 months, they would attach most importance to 3 sets of 10 days. These 3 10 days that falls within these special sanctified Islamic months, the Ashurul Hurum, the importance that they have, the significance, the fazilat, the greatness in the sight of Allah is even more greater than the other days of these Islamic months. Now what are these days? So he mentions that the 10 days of Muharram, the Sahaba would attach a lot of importance to this, the first 10 days. And that is on account of the day of Ashura coming within the 10 days. On the 10 days, the day of Ashura, the greatest day in this month. And we all know that the reward for fasting in any day of the month of Muharram, any day a person fasts, a nafil fast, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards him for fasting an entire month, any day. And on the day of Ashura, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَحْتَسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَن يُكَفِّرَ السَّنَةَ الْمَاضِيَةَ. I have hope in the mercy of Allah that the one who fasts a nafil fast on the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him apart from the 1 month reward, nafil reward, 1 year of sins will be forgiven. 1 year of sins. Then we look at it that this fast of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, that's going to be this Tuesday, coming Tuesday, so sanctified that before the farz of Ramadan, before Ramadan, the fast of Ramadan became farz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the fast of Ashura farz on this ummah. The hadith of Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba mentions that it was this Mubarak day that the Anbiya of the past would all fast. They all would fast on this day. Can you imagine what a great day? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba mentioned that the Nabi of Allah did not wait more eagerly for any day to fast than the day of Ashura. He waited so eagerly, he would wait for this day. And the Sahaba ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in emulated the Nabi of Allah in regard to this. They also used to eagerly wait for this Mubarak day. Until that even their children also, they would encourage them to fast. The small young children, they would also be fasting on this Mubarak day of Ashura. And if the children desired food and the fast perhaps was a little difficult for them at the end of the day, then they would give their children some type of small little handmade toys, you know. Something would well, something they would give them. Just to keep them occupied and busy so that the day can end and the honor of that day could be acquired in fasting. Can you imagine what? Then Nabi Sallallahu also mentioned, Man Osa ala iyalihi yawm ashura, Osa Allahu alayhi sayra sana. The person who, he honors this occasion, one is he fast, he honors that occasion. Then he feeds his family a little more on this day, out of honor for this occasion. It's a happy occasion. The grace and the blessings of Allah are raining on this ummah on this day. So a person opens his heart to his family, and then he feeds his family with a little extra on that day. If he wants to purchase something for them also, he can do that also, the fuqasi, that's also permissible. For his wife, for his kids, his children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him so much barakah, such abundant, immense barakah, that he will be blessed with barakah for the entire year. Barakah in sustenance for entire year, just because he honored this occasion. We can imagine, respected friends, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors this banda when he honors the occasion that Allah had commanded should be honored. Why? This is a favor of Allah, a very great blessing, a great ni'mat. The ni'mat of Allah is supposed to be acknowledged. The ni'mat of Allah is supposed to be revered and respected. The ni'mat of Allah is supposed to be appreciated. So with the servant, he appreciates this ni'mat. Allah appreciates him. Allah grants him barakah. But on this occasion, the Nabi of Allah taught us a very important lesson. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that the one who will fast on the day of Ashura, he should fast one day before or one day after also. So that he does not resemble the Jews. The Jews only fast on one day. We will show them that Islam is distinct, Islam is different. We have a very, very different code of life. We will follow the Mubarak Tariqah and way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam commanded we should fast on 2 days. We will fast on the 9th and 10th, or the 10th and the 11th. It is mentioned when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made hijrat and he came from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Tayyiba. Then on the occasion of Ashura, some say that was the following year, the Nabi of Allah, when he came, it was Rabi'ul Awwal. So perhaps this was the following year, the day of Ashura. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed by a group of Yahud, Jews, and the Nabi of Allah saw them fasting. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him that, why are you people fasting? So they mentioned that this was the day that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala had blessed Musa Alayhi Salam and Bani Israel with salvation and victory against Fir'aun and his people. So when Allah Ta'ala blessed him with salvation from the tyranny and oppression of Fir'aun and his people, then Musa Alayhi Salam fasted on this day. So that's why in emulation for the Nabi, our Nabi Musa Alayhi Salam, we are also fasting. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at that occasion mentioned something very beautiful. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Ana awla bi Musa." That Musa Alayhi Salam, I have closer ties with him. So I am more worthy that I follow Musa Alayhi Salam. And in the riwayat of Muslim Sharif, "Nahnu ahakku bi Musa minkum." We have closer ties to the Musa Alayhi Salam than you, so we will emulate him in fasting, because he is more closer to us than you. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam commanded the Sahaba and the Ummah, we also should fast on this occasion. So here Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam shows that every Nabi is linked. And how we love our Nabi, we will love every Nabi. And how Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala sent Hidayat upon every Nabi, and that Hidayat is included in the Qur'an al-Majeed. فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِي Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala commands Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهُ O Allah's Rasul, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have informed you of the condition and the incidents and the stories of various of our men, our special men, the Anbiya. So you follow their way, the way that you have been shown in the Qur'an of the way of Anbiya, you also follow. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would emulate the Anbiya in those things that Allah commanded him that they should be emulated. Of course, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was Imamul Anbiya wal Mursaleen, the Imam of all the Anbiya and Mursaleen. So this Mubarak day is the day of Ashura that's going to come, and we should honor this occasion. But to show that we, Islam, is different from Judaism, Christianity, and all other religions, we will be different in our dressing. We will be different in our ibadat. We will be different in our outlook to life. We will be different in regard to our mindset. We will be different because Allah Ta'ala blessed us with the honor that He blessed no other ummah with. How great. Now when we look at the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, every aspect of his Mubarak life was hidayat through and through, guidance through and through. Everything was a favor, was a ni'mat, was a bounty. And Allah Pak become very happy with the servant when we embrace and we receive everything. We don't become selective and take what we want and leave what we don't want. We embrace the whole life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with respect and mahabbat and love. We fulfill everything that he wanted us to fulfill in the manner he wanted us to fulfill it. So for this, respected friends, we have to look at the lives of Sahaba. So the person looks at the lives of Sahaba, they get a glimpse of what was the works and the ways, the mindset and the thinking, the qurbani and sacrifice of the master Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Look at the Sahaba, then you see it all, you know. How great these people were. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she was the beloved mother, our mother, the mother of this ummah. She took the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to heart. Everything of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, she didn't just do it, you know, like as a ritual. She took it in her heart. And let's look at her sentiments that she expresses. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that we should perform chash namaz. And this chash namaz, called salatul duha, can be performed after sunrise, about 15 to 20 minutes after sunrise, right till zawal, right till in between the time, any time a person can perform that salah. He can perform ishraq also within the time, and he can perform the salatul duha also. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the person who will perform four rakats of salatul duha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the reward of performing this four rakats on the night of Qadr. So much reward. As though he performed it on the night of Qadr, that reward he'll get. Just that four rakats. And the one who performs after his Isha Salah, he'll perform that Isha Fard, then he'll perform the two Sunnati Muakkada. Then if he performs two rakat, if he performs four rakats of Nafal before leaving the Masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the reward of performing that four rakats as though he performed it on the night of Qadr. The night, imagine what rewards Allah is giving. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha took this to heart, Salatul Duha, that she never left out that Salatul Duha. She never left out that Mamul, you know, she never left it out. Until that she mentioned on one occasion that even if Allah had to bring my parents back to life, had to resurrect them from the grave, and I know they have come out, and it's the time for me to perform my Salatul Duha, out of extreme happiness, I would be so happy to meet my parents, I won't leave this namaz. I won't leave this namaz. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala mentions, he says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that after the Farz Salah, we must perform the Farz Salah in the masjid. That was the way of the Nabi of Allah. Farz Salah, not at home, in the masjid. The rawayat of Musnad Ahmad, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became so affected. Imagine, rahmatan lil alameen. Allah ta'ala says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, وَمَا رَسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. O my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we sent you as a mercy unto the worlds, unto the worlds. We cannot imagine a personality who has more love, compassion and mercy than Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when he learned that people are performing their Farz Salah at home, he became so affected, so affected. He said, I got a good mind of gathering a group of youth and getting some firewood and going to the homes of all people who are performing their Farz Salah within their homes. They're not coming to the masjid. I want to go and burn down their homes. If it was not for the children and women folk residing there, I would have definitely did it. The Nabi of Allah, imagine, so affected, so affected. So the Sahaba Ridwan Allah in his mind, they took this to their, in their heart, they took it to heart. They didn't take it lightly. Every day they would go to the masjid to perform the salah. Every day. It is mentioned, if a Sahabi, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar, it is mentioned, if perchance he missed that Farz Salah, he missed that Farz Salah in the masjid, and he came, it wouldn't happen, but it's mentioned, if it just happened, whole night he would spend in ibadat, expressing grief before Allah that the salah was missed in the masjid with jamaat. Perhaps he would perhaps make jamaat after that at home, but he affected so much. Then we find the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, and after, and Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala didn't have anybody to assist her in the home chores. Now we have assistance at home. There was no one to assist her. So she learned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had received some slaves. So she thought that she would come to the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask her beloved father, oh my beloved father, that you are giving the slaves to other sahaba, if you can make some provisions for me also. When she reached the home of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she asked Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, that where is the Nabi of Allah? She said, no, he's gone out. He says that this is what I have come for. When my beloved father comes and express my need before him. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came home. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Nabi of Allah, your beloved daughter came and she doesn't have anybody, and she has to do all the work herself to such an extent that her hands also there's through grinding the mill, there's corns on her hands, on her body, difficult, all the work she has to do by herself. Poverty, they don't have food sometimes, sahaba going to difficulty. So she came to request, how are you giving the other sahaba, if you can give her also. The Nabi of Allah that day, he went to the home of Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anhuma, and they were about to go to sleep. The Nabi of Allah entered, he told them, so much of love, just remain in your bed, you don't have to wake up. And then he expressed, he told them, he said, "Oh Fatima, must I tell you something that will be better than a khadim, an assistant in the world? You get someone to do your something better." After the Fard Salah, 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar. This is better for you to fulfill the needs of your dunya and akhirat. Dunya and akhirat. Allahu Akbar. Imagine, look at this. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha didn't complain. She took it to heart. Till the end of her life, this is the life of austerity that she led, you know. The queen of the women of Jannah. Queen of the women of Jannah. Hazrat Ali says he never left out this tasbihat. He never left it out. Never left it out. Whole life, after every salah, the Nabi of Allah told him, read this. Always read it. See, he took it so serious, right? So someone asked Ali radiallahu anha, "Wala yawma siffin?" Not on the day of Siffin, when there was a severe battle taking place, that day also you never miss it out. So he says that engage in the battle on the occasion of Siffin. He says, I forgot about it. I forgot about it. And during the night I remembered. I woke up and I quickly read it. I quickly read it. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said after the Fard Salah and before retiring to bed. So he said, I would read it after the first salah, but on that occasion before going to sleep, I forgot to read it before going to sleep. After the battle, I was tired. And then I went to sleep and my eyes opened. And then I remembered it. And I quickly read it. Even on that occasion, I didn't miss it out. He took it so serious. And we sister told. So they took this so serious. It mentioned that the fuqara of the muhajirin, the poor muhajirin, when they traveled from Makkah Mukarramah, they came to Medina, they didn't have. They came as refugee status, didn't have anything. The Ansar opened their, not homes, they opened their hearts to these people, they gave him everything. And when the next battle took place, the Nabi of Allah said that we will give our muhajir brothers, because they came, they didn't have anything, and whatever they gave, y'all gave them as return. Look at Sahaba, right? He says, because y'all gave them a lot, the next battle, if they fought, the booty that came, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told that, okay, we'll give the booty to the muhajir, because they came from Makkah, they left all their wealth, they lost everything, we'll give it to them. The Ansar won't give them anything, we'll give them the next expedition, next battle. Ansar were very happy. The following battle, when the wealth of Bahrain and the ghanimat and the spoils of war came in, so much of wealth, the Nabi of Allah said, now we will give this wealth to the Ansar, we won't give the Muhajirin, because we gave them previously, we didn't give the Ansar. To square it up, we'll give only the Ansar. The Ansar said, O Nabi of Allah, we are not happy with this. If you don't give our brothers, the Muhajirin, equal, then we're not prepared to take it. Allahu Akbar, look at these people. When the Muhajirin came to Madinah Munawwara, they gave them everything. Allah says, وَيُؤْسِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. They gave preference to others, though poverty be the lot. Why they lived with Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? They lived. They saw his life, they saw his heart, they saw everything they saw. How the Muhammad Nabi said, that's how they emulated him. Emulated everything. This happy occasion, this ni'mat of Allah we must appreciate. When Ramadan comes, we know what a great favor. We don't know when Ramadan goes, we'll see the next Ramadan. When Ashura, the happy occasion of Ashura will come, you don't know, you'll see the next Ashura. This special occasion, the grace of Allah is raining, the man lifts his hands and he makes dua, Allah will accept that dua. It's a happy occasion, imagine. So how a person, how much you want to invest, you know, how much you want to invest. If you invest correctly, at the time when your eyes will close, you reach the akhirat, you'll see the investments there, you know. And the one person who was investing offshore investments, his eyes closed, he'll leave everything and go. One is that person, he invested correctly. He said that, no, Allah will be happy if I spend my wealth in avenues pleasing to him. I have my wife, my children. Let me at least spend on my children. Allah says it's rewarding. I'll spend on my children. You know. If they're married also, see that, you know, they're in good condition. I'll spend on my children. You know. This is great, great. One is when you give the masjid, give wealth, you give some donation to the masjid. Very great. But now your own children are in difficulty. No, spend. Allah says, spend at home, you know. First see them, you know. Then your extended family, they're in difficulty. Person be umrah upon umrah, hajj upon umrah, hajj upon hajj. You person do all this. You give that money. Allah says, wali dil qurba. What about your family? They also got hukuk. Now to the, even more rewarding for that nafal umrah. You spend here. And that is what the Nabi of Allah taught us. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came home, he found out, he said, Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu anha had a slave. She had a slave. And then she thought that, you know, a slave was worth a lot, you know. I know a person got a car, a very expensive car. And you ask, you know, what happened to that car? He said, you know, I gave it in charity, you know. I gave it to Alim Dad, you know. Okay, I'll give it to whoever. I gave it in charity. He said, hey, you know. You must have a big heart to do that. So here, the slaves were worth a lot. A lot of money. So Nabi of Allah said, you had that slave, you had, what you did with the slave? He said that, no, I wanted to spend that slave in the path of Allah. I gave it in charity to the poor. The Nabi of Allah said, your family, they are poor people. If you only gave it to them, Allah should give you double reward. You should have given it here. Allah talks in the ayat, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. If you want to acquire the special connection with Allah, Allah says, you'll never acquire and obtain special level of piety. Not that special. Until you spend what you really love. When this ayat came down, the Sahaba Ridwan Allah in Ajmain, they thought, Allah is saying that, you know, we want Allah, we have to give what we really like. Yes, and Umar radiallahu anhu came, he said, oh Nabi of Allah, I got a slave girl, I really love her a lot. I said, I will give her for Allah, I'll give her in the path of Allah. Then you find another sahabi says, I got a horse, you know, I'll give the horse in the path of Allah. Another sahabi says, I got this orchard, and the fruit is the best orchard, among the best orchards in Medina. And the water of this lake is so appetizing, it is so sweet, it is so nice. Oh Nabi of Allah, I love this the most. This Abu Talha came, said, I'll give this for Allah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is so happy, he said, give it to your poor relatives. Give it to your poor relatives. And there we find, he gives it to Hazrat Hassan bin Thabit, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Ubay ibn Ka'b, gives it to them. Allahu Akbar. And they only met him in the fifth generation, so far. The Nabi of Allah taught that, give it to your relatives, you know, give it to your relatives. Today a person, for him to spend a lot of wealth to purchase what he likes, he said, oh, Allah gave me that wealth, I can do this. I like to have bought an extra car, you know. I went for a holiday, you know. I went for a Umrah trip. Alhamdulillah, you know, nobody say no. But he's not fulfilling what Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu wants. What Nabi Sallam wants, you know what Nabi Sallam wants. This is a mu'min. We should be concerned, brothers. We should be concerned. When I meet Nabi Sallam on the day of Qiyamah, will he be happy with me? Will he be happy with me? Yeah, the Sahabi is passing away. Passing away. And he's in the battlefield. Sa'd ibn Rabi is passing away. Sa'd ibn Rabi is a great Sahabi. So Nabi Sallam said, I don't see him here. Go and see, is he among the living or the dead? The Sahaba go, they find him. He's passing away. He said, the Nabi of Allah sent us to find out where you are. He said, that tell the Nabi of Allah, I'm about to leave this world. Give him my salams. And I have one message for the Sahaba. Give them this message. Tell them, if they don't try very hard to support the Nabi of Allah and support the mission of Islam, until that the kuffar reach Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and kill him, they'll have to answer in the court of Allah for this. And tell them that do everything what they can to fulfill what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam want, so that Allah ta'ala will be pleased with them. And on the day of Qiyamah, they're not taken to task for this. Allah give me and all of us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.